children separated from their parents at the border, pregnant women detained and deported, late night and early morning raids and arrests, citizens racially profiled and treated as alien outsiders, a president who's begun constructing a multi-million dollar border wall. Now, this may sound like a description of America's southern border during the Trump administration, but it's not. This is the reality of the western border of the Dominican Republic, where in the last 3 months, 16,000 Haitians have been expelled. Haiti and the Dominican Republic are neighboring nations of a single island in the Caribbean, and the DR has a long history of enacting racism, classism, and violence against their Haitian neighbors and residents. And the current crisis feels particularly acute in this difficult moment for Haitians whose president was assassinated just a few months ago and whose people are still recovering from the ravages of a recent earthquake. Here's what one Haitian mother told Reuters.
I want to look for a better life because of my children. But now I sit here and think about what opportunities my country has for me. If my country can offer me a new opportunity, I'll stay here. But if I don't get any opportunities, I'll be forced to go to another country.
Joining me now is Danica Cotto, the Associated Press's Caribbean correspondent, who is just recently reporting out of the Dominican Republic. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the DR has deported 16,000 Haitians in the last 3 months. What is happening?
Well, activists say, although deportations have always occurred every year in the Dominican Republic, that this new administration under President Luis Abinader has particularly targeted Haitian migrants in a way not seen before. For example, they say that unaccompanied children are being deported, pregnant women, lactating women, and they accuse officials of arresting people, going against the law, arresting people from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., as well as not notifying their Haitian counterparts about who's being detained and who's being deported and where they're being deported.
Now, are these Haitian citizens or are these DR citizens of Haitian descent?
According to activists, it's everything. It's people who have crossed, Haitians who have crossed illegally into the Dominican Republic. It's Haitians who have long lived for decades in the Dominican Republic and originally arrived there under a work permit provided by the Dominican government that has since expired. And there are tens of thousands of people trying to renew these documents, and activists say that the government has repeatedly refused to do so, which gives them, they say, the excuse to arrest them. And as well, activists say that even some Black Dominicans born to Dominican parents have been arrested and deported.
It would be helpful, I think, for some folks who don't know the particular racial history and history of racial violence, particularly in the 20th century, maybe to understand the context in which this is happening.
Indeed, if we go a little bit farther back from that, the Dominican Republic doesn't celebrate its independence from Spain. It celebrates it from Haiti on the day that it revolted against what was at the time a violent occupation of the Dominican Republic. And since then, both countries that share the island of Hispaniola have had a very fraught and tense and sort of ongoing wary relationship. Back in 1937, under the Dominican dictator Rafael Trujillo, there was an estimated anywhere from about 10,000 to 30,000 Haitians killed, particularly along the western border in the northwest part of the Dominican Republic near Dajabón and other areas. And this, was a result of complaints from Dominicans at the time accusing Haitians of stealing cows, crops, and other goods. So this sort of fraught relationship has been going on for decades and has, recently intensified given, the deepening political instability in Haiti, as well as the growing violence in that country that, many are trying to flee, and the closest exit, well, is their neighbor in the Dominican Republic.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Has there been an increase in migration of Haitians across that western border, well, I guess the eastern border for Haiti, into the DR?
It's hard to say to compare it with previous years. According to activists, there has been an increase in deportations, but they say that the flow has not, that there's not been a spike in the flow. I mean, there are a lot of Haitians also who are trying to get to the Turks and Caicos Islands, the Bahamas, and other in Puerto Rico as well. So there's no statistics that other governments can provide in terms of how many people are leaving. But Haiti is also facing, you know, a lot of Haitians who have been expelled by the United States. There have been more than 12,000 expelled since September. And a lot of these people have never lived in Haiti or, you know, have spent decades outside of their own country and don't speak the language. So not only do you have just the regular people who have long been leaving Haiti, you also have those who are arriving and who are trying to leave again. So, you know, you have those two situations coming together.
It's a really useful reminder for Americans. Sometimes we have kind of a short attention span on these kinds of immigration issues. And your point about, you know, what had obviously had people riled up, angry about seeing how Haitian immigrants were being treated at the southern border of the U.S. And yet part of what I hear you saying is that those deportations have now increased the pressure on what's happening here on the island.
Indeed. I mean, you have more people trying to leave just because you have more people being expelled to Haiti. And, you know, Haiti right now is not capable of really providing any resources. I mean, it's nearly impossible to find a job. Some of these people have families who lost their homes in their earthquake. So they're living in temporary shelters and, you know, they don't have a home or a family to stay with right now. And on top of it, there's been a spike, a very big increase in kidnappings. And those, you know, who have been deported to Haiti with families, I mean, they're seeking to leave as soon as possible, given the situation.
Now, when you talk about resources and obviously the clear lack of them, given the circumstances in Haiti, what are the economic resources and opportunities like in the DR?
There's a lot more. I mean, the DR has a very, very strong economy. Tourism, you know, is the main source of revenue along with other sectors. But there's just a lot of work to be found. And as well, a lot of those jobs are not being done by Dominicans themselves. So, you know, the Haitians come in, they fill in their jobs, they get paid less, you know, than their Dominican counterparts. And a lot of them back in several decades ago, it used to be in agriculture. You know, a lot of Haitians worked in sugarcane fields, and then now they're also branching out into tourism, call centers, construction, as well as domestic employment, you know, working as maids for people in Santo Domingo, the capital, and elsewhere.
Oh, Danica, am I crazy or does that sound very familiar to another set of immigration patterns?
Indeed. It's very much a reflective of what's happening elsewhere.
Danica, let me just ask this. Given how long this history is, that it is wrapped up with questions of identity and, you know, colonialism and language and race, what's the likelihood of a solution in the near future?
Unfortunately, I don't really see any solution. I mean, the fact is, you know, that these two countries share an island, and the closest exit for Haitians who are unable either to find jobs or, you know, who fear for their lives, because so many people have been caught up in this gang warfare that has escalated, is the Dominican Republic. I mean, they're just, you know, one border away. And when we were along the border town of Dajabón, which is in the northwest part of the Dominican Republic, you would see, you know, authorities bringing in Haitian migrants, or those believed to be Haitian migrants, dropping them off at the border, and we would observe them. We would walk with them. We would walk with the migrants. They would cross over into Haiti, and 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, you know, they were along the riverbanks trying to cross back. So it is, you know, sort of this cycle where they get dropped off, they come back in. And then on top of it, you know, Haiti's situation is unfortunately not likely to get better anytime in the future. I mean, they're still trying to hold elections next year after the, you know, President Jovenel Moïse was assassinated on July 7th. A lot of people are still trying to recover from the 7.2 magnitude earthquake that struck in August, you know, killed more than 2,200 people and destroyed more than 10,000 homes. Plus, you have, you know, the spike in kidnappings, you know, everyone being kidnapped, from students to doctors to, you know, even we interviewed a hot dog street vendor who was kidnapped. So, you know, everyone's being targeted with that. And you know, there's just a lot of uncertainty. And added to that, on Tuesday, the Haitian government announced that there would be an increase in fuel prices because it can't afford to keep subsidizing fuel anymore. And as you know, there was a recent severe shortage of fuel. You know, hospitals were turning away patients. Schools were not able to operate. A lot of businesses had to cut back on their hours. As a result, you know, people increasingly lost their jobs. So it's just this cycle that keeps perpetuating itself and that keeps driving people more into poverty. And, you know, there's a lot more hunger as well. So the only way for them, for many families, is to just look elsewhere. And not everybody can afford to, you know, pay a trip to the Turks and Caicos or the Bahamas or other islands. So the cheapest way for them to flee is just across the border.
Danica Cotto is the AP's Caribbean correspondent. Thank you for joining The Takeaway.
Thank you very much for having me.